This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and what a privilege it is to be back with you. Like, today we are diving deep into a conversation inspired by a humorous children's book entitled The Memoirs of a Goldfish. And it's written by David Cillian. And it's a lighthearted story told from the perspective of a goldfish who's having a peaceful existence in his bowl, and the things start to change. Like, he's got a great fishbowl life, and then stuff starts, like, day by day, new things, new characters get added to his bowl. And as you'll hear, goldfish attitude goes from one of contentment to one of complaint to complete meltdown. But by the end, something changes, and so does he. And we're going to discover more. Like, this transformation really reflects something that we really don't talk about a lot, but I want us to dig into it today. And it's what it means when we get stuck in a victim loop. What it means when we get stuck in a victim loop. Okay? So are you ready to explore this with me today? All right. Here we go. Memoirs of a Goldfish by Devin Cillian. All right. Day one, the goldfish says, I swam around my bowl. Day two, I swam around my bowl twice. Day three, I swam around my bowl. I thought about taking a nap, but fish don't sleep, so I swam around my bowl. Day four, I got some company today. I don't like the looks of him one bit. He doesn't say anything, he just bubbles. Y'all, it's an underwater, like, deep diving guy with the bubbles and the hose attached to him. Day five, Mr. Bubbles still hasn't said a word. He just looks at me. I said, hello, today. And he said, goggle, goggle, goggle. He's creepy. Day six, today my bowl looks like a garden. There are a bunch of plants in here now. I guess I have to water them. Great. Day seven, Mr. Bubbles and I now have company. He's a snail. He says his name is Mervin, and he likes to eat the slime off the inside of the bowl. He's disgusting. Day eight, things are getting very crowded. While watering the plants, I met a crab named Fred. I offered him my fin, and he nearly cut it off. Even Mr. Bubbles was afraid of him. Fred says, I should stay on my side of the bowl. Look, I said, the whole bowl is my side of the bowl. He snapped his claw, and Merv fainted. I gotta get out of here. Day nine. That does it. My bowl now contains a sunken pirate ship, two guppies named Rhoda and Clark, and an angelfish named Cha-Cha who says she's from Hollywood. I can't turn around without bumping into something. At least Mervin is happy. There's more gunk on the side of the bowl every day. Day 10. This is ridiculous. I was trying to find room for a swim today when Rhoda and Clark told me they're going to have babies soon. Like there's room for that. Fred knocked over Mr. Bubbles and he came entangled in the plants. Cha-Cha said she couldn't help with Mr. Bubbles but needed me to apply her sunscreen. The sides of the bowl are covered in slime and Mervin says he's too full to eat any more of it. Yuck. Day 11. I'm a nervous wreck. Trying to avoid Fred, I turned around quickly this morning and came face to face with my reflection in the mirror. I nearly jumped out of my gills. I don't even look like myself anymore. I need to relax. Day 12. I've had it. Rhoda and Clark are racing around the bowl. Fred was fighting with Mr. Bubbles. Mervin kept belching, and Cha-Cha told me I was standing in her light. I just lost it. This is my bowl, I screamed. I want my bowl back. Day 13. Today I got my wish. Sort of. With a whoosh and a splash and a clank and a plunge, I was suddenly in a very tiny bowl of clear, pure water. It was small, but it was all mine. It was heavenly. I swam around my new bowl twice. But I started to wonder, what had happened to everyone? When I last saw Mr. Bubbles, he was tangled in green. Who would help him? Poor Melvin was probably sick as a dogfish. He needs me. Cha-Cha will get a sunburn without me around. And what about Rhoda and Clark? Did Rhoda have her baby guppies? There are probably 1,000 of them. They need me to take guppy bottles, and change guppy diapers. Even Fred needs me. I'm the only one who can really talk to the crabby guy. Have they even noticed I'm gone? Does anyone miss me? I started to cry, and that's not easy for a fish to do. Day 14, after a long, sad night, there was a whoosh and a splash and a clank and a plunge, and I was suddenly sprayed in the face by Bubbles. Mr. Bubbles gurgled a happy tune. Rhoda and Clark raced by me like 2 speedboats, followed by 12 of the cutest baby guppies you've ever seen. Mervin waved his tail at me from the nice clean glass of our enormous tank, and Cha-Cha sat happily beneath an umbrella. I think even Fred missed me. We are all back together, and I looked around and I realized I was part of a big family. I guess I must have smiled because Clark said, "You look happy." I wanted to see for myself. Where's the mirror? I asked. What mirror? Asked Clark. We don't have a mirror, said Fred. No mirror? No wonder I didn't look like myself. It wasn't me I was seeing. Her name is Gracie, and she's the color of a fresh tangerine. She's a Pisces just like me. And today, we're going to swim around the tank together. Twice. The end. Let's go, goldfish. Come on through, Devin Cillian. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So good. So good. You heard it, right? Goldfish starts out feeling great. Like, this is the life. But as new elements get introduced to his bowl, he feels invaded, ignored, overlooked, and even overwhelmed by what's happening. Like the spiral of thoughts mirrors something real. We call it victimization. It's when we experience real or perceived harm. And we begin to believe that life is happening to us, not through us and not for us, but to us. I mean, think about your own life. When have you been caught saying stuff like this? You ready? Why does this always happen to me? or no one listens to me. I didn't sign up for this. Sometimes what we want and what we need, they are not the same. Oh my goodness. And often the things that we resist are the things that are refining us. Oh, they're growing us. They're helping us, but we don't see it as help. Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk through this. Let's see, what does this look like when I'm stuck in the victim loop? What does it look like when I'm stuck in the victim loop? Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a pretty good list. I'm going to give you the eight common signs that you might be stuck in the victim loop. You ready? Here's the first one. You default to blame. And it's always somebody else's fault. If you find yourself always blaming others for what's happening to you, you're probably stuck in the victim loop. All right, okay. Which brings me to number two. You feel powerless even when there are choices available. You can't even see the other choices because you don't think there's anything you can do about your situation. Stuck in a victim loop. Or you replay past hurts over and over and over again in your head and your heart, sort of like a commercial jingle that got stuck in your mind. You just keep rehearsing these things over and over again. Victim loop. Mm-hmm. You use all or nothing language. Like, you've heard me talk about this before. Absolutism is what I call it. To it, when you say everyone, always, never. Well, if you find yourself in that place where you are an all or nothing kind of thinking, you're probably stuck in the loop. Or you'll shut down when others give you feedback. Like, you don't see feedback as helpful. You see feedback as a weapon. Like, people are attacking you instead of seeing feedback as a tool to help grow you. My goodness. Okay. Or you wait for others to change instead of taking responsibility. Nothing wrong with me. It's everybody else that needs to get their life together. Number seven, you rely on others to fix what only you can face. Sometimes when we're stuck in this loop, we are waiting for somebody else to rescue us. When really, we're the only ones coming to help us. Here's the last one. The sarcasm you use, your constant complaining, you use those things to avoid dealing with whatever it is that's happening. I'm not going to deal. I'm just going to be sarcastic. I'm going to complain, but I'm not going to do anything. You're probably stuck in the victim loop. I'm wondering if any of this sounds familiar to you. See, Goldfish, he wanted peace, right? But what he really needed was perspective. Sometimes you in your bowl when life is trying to get you to a bigger tank, but you can't see it because you're such a victim. And then once the bowl was emptied again, he realized that it wasn't the crowd that was the problem. It was how he was processing change. See, change is happening, but then you end up alone again. It helps you reflect and say, well, maybe it wasn't everybody else. Maybe it's me. Oh, I know. I told you this is a deep dive into something that's hard for us to think through. Maybe it's you. Oh, this reminds me of a conversation that my wife and I were having with some others, and she mentioned this term that so resonated, and I was like, ooh, you know how you have an aha moment where you say, oh, that's something right there. She says that sometimes we as adults have adult tantrums. Ah! I was like, yes, this is the victim loop. When I'm engaging in adult tantrums, okay, I'm going to read a definition for you that's going to help us. Ready? An adult tantrum is an emotionally charged and often disproportionate reaction to frustration, disappointment, or unmet expectations, and is typically expressed through blame, sarcasm, withdrawal, passive aggressiveness, or outburst. I'll read it again for the people in the back. It's an emotionally charged, often disproportionate reaction, right? That means that your response doesn't match the situation, right? Oh my gosh. An often disproportionate reaction to frustration, disappointment, or unmet expectations. And it is typically expressed through blame, sarcasm, withdrawal, passive aggressiveness, or outburst. Oh, I bet you, even as I read that definition, you start getting pictures of your mind of either yourself.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
For others who have operated and have thrown adult tantrums. Mm-hmm. Now, and these are not physical, although they could be, but they're typically emotionally reactive responses or behavior patterns. And they center around this perceived loss, or when something's unfair, or when you're looking for validation. And it demands that other people accommodate your emotional distress without any accountability on your part. Good night. Okay. And often this mirrors a childhood tantrum. Because it is like being a child, but it's expressed in adult language, in adult tones, or even manipulation. Golly, okay. Let's talk about what this looks like in real life. You ready? Slamming things down, giving the silent treatment. Did you know that the silent treatment was an adult tantrum? When I refuse to talk about something, I'm just not going to talk about it. You're sulking. When you're sulking, that's an adult tantrum. Or when you're overreacting to minor inconveniences. Oh, you've seen it when somebody has to wait in line for something. Oh, this is taking longer than I thought it was going to take. And they throw a whole tantrum. Or you're deflecting blame and you're refusing feedback. Oh, man. Yep. Or you use guilt to punish others for the things that have happened. Somebody does something, you just use guilt and you just twist it and you just twist it and you just twist it. Or you repeat phrases like this. Nobody ever listens to me. I shouldn't have to deal with this. Y'all, when we were kids, right, there was a song we used to sing when someone was manipulating others or acting like the victim. It would go like this. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm gonna eat some worms. Oh! Some of you are familiar with this little nursery rhyme or whatever it's called. This childhood song, and really, what we're saying is that this is a victim's theme song, right? Like here it is, something's happening, and all of a sudden now, nobody likes me. I ain't got no friends. I'm going to eat some worms, because then that's going to manipulate you into going, oh, look at what they're doing, and paying attention, because really what I'm after is attention. The underlying dynamics here is this, that it is rooted in entitlement and emotional immaturity and maybe even some suppressed pain. Oh, oh my gosh. It is our attempt to regain perceived control over a situation or to seek validation or attention. We know what it's like when somebody is engaged in attention-seeking behaviors. And often when this is happening, y'all, this signals that emotional regulation tools have not matured with your age. You heard me. When my emotional regulation tools don't develop as I age, I might be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 something, but I'm still acting like I'm 10. In short, an emotional tantrum is a grown-up expression of the emotional immature. It's where someone demands relief from something without taking responsibility. But there's a way out of this loop, y'all. There is a way out. Let's talk about this shift out of the loop, right? I was thinking about my book recently, and I was looking at this, and in chapter 7 of my book, Developing a Durable Mind, if you don't have it, I'm telling you, this is going to help you with this right here. This is going to help you with it. And in this chapter, I talk about how our limiting beliefs, our rigid ideas that hold us in place. They are rigid beliefs that we have about ourselves or about others or about our situations, and they leave us feeling stuck. In chapter 7 of my book, that chapter is called Getting Unstuck. And when we get stuck, right, we double down on ineffective strategies or ineffective thinking instead of considering new perspectives. This is the misapplication of determination. We'll persist with something that's wrong simply because it's comfortable, because it's easier for me to blame you than it is for me to accept responsibility. And when we double down, it's like we're zooming in, and our lens narrows, and this lens that has been shaped by our personal experiences or our biases or our assumptions, when it narrows, we miss some things, which is why we have to zoom out. And so it's sort of like looking through the peephole on the door, right? When I look through the peephole on the door, my view is limited. And they try to, you know, round it or magnify it so I can see what's in the hallway. But I really can't see all of what's happening out there. I can really only see what's happening right outside my door. But if I change my viewing point, if I change my perspective and I open the door or I go out into the hallway, then what I do is I zoom out and I begin to see more. And when I do that, this is a gift that allows me to see what's been hidden because I was too close to the situation. But when I back out, when I zoom out, I can see more. And what this does, it invites in exploration and discovery instead of assumptions and limitations. Y'all, that's just a taste of Chapter 7, I'm just telling you, y'all, that we have to learn how to zoom out, how to get a different perspective so we can get unstuck. So let me give you three things that I believe will help you get out of the loop. Here's the first thing. is honesty. It's about naming what's true, but doing it without shame. So, like, it's being honest to say, yo, I've been stuck. I have been acting like a victim. I have been throwing adult tantrums, and I've been blaming everybody else for it. Because taking responsibility was hard, and I was ashamed, and I was afraid. And so, y'all, this is not about self-blame. It's about self-awareness. Like, you can acknowledge that something happened to you without becoming stuck in it. And so here's some questions you might ask yourself. You ready? Like, what have I been telling myself about this situation? That question right there gets you looking at some stuff. What have I been telling myself? Is the narrative I've been telling myself really serving the person I'm becoming? I've asked that question before because it's so important. Like, maybe I have felt powerless, but now I have some other choices I can make. I can allow myself to make other choices. Oh, yes, and yes, and yes. So the first step is just being honest without shame and without blame. Just, this is where I am. Like, for real, this is where I am. And so the second step then is taking back your power one choice at a time. Like, you may not be able to control everything, but there is something you can control, and that's you. Victim loops, they are fed by helplessness. And so what I have to do is I start to break that down into small things that I can do, and like identifying just one thing that I can control, one thing, like my response or my next step or my words or my thoughts. Like, I find the one thing that I can control, and then I start practicing taking control of that one thing. Like, I replace thoughts like I can't with I'm learning how to, or I replace they made me, look at what they did to me, look at what you made me do, to I choose to. I choose to, this is what I choose to do, or I'm learning to, instead of I can't, or here's what I can do today. I may not have been able to do it yesterday, but today I can do this. You know, one of the things I've decided this year that I'm challenging myself to remove the word trying from my conversations about things. You know, we'll say stuff like, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to exercise. I've just refused to, every time I find myself saying, I'm trying to do, I correct, I say, oh, I'm sorry, I need to correct that. I'm not trying, I'm doing it. I am exercising regularly, even if that's one time a week. I am not trying. I am doing. I am eating better. I am thinking better. Listen, I am a podcaster. I am an author. I am a speaker. I am a life changer. I am. Not I'm trying to. I am. I am. See, and it's not about giant leaps, y'all. It's about micro shifts in responsibility. I'm taking responsibility for the choices that I'm making. One choice at a time. Because small choices and small decisions create momentum for change. They create momentum for forward movement, y'all. Okay, so I got to get honest. I got to take my power back one choice at a time. But here's the third step. I got to reframe the narrative and shift my viewing point. I do. Like, I have to start asking myself, what else could be true? Like the goldfish when he was in the small bowl, right? He could have asked, what else is happening here? What else could be true about what's happening in here? Because he didn't, he became a victim. But when he understood that there was more happening, he was like, I'm not a victim. Like, somebody's doing something for me. I'm getting more out of this. And so it's the old thought would have been nobody cares. But maybe, just maybe the new story I start saying and I start telling and I start reframing is I'm learning to communicate what I need clearly. And I'm looking for the right the right support. I'm seeking the right support, would we say. See, victim loops reinforce the narrow negative storytelling. That's what they do. But your story has more chapters and more perspective than you've been allowing yourself to experience. In the book, after every chapter, I indicate some ways to help you with something. And one of the things I want you to think about or try is write down an old thought, like everybody always overlooks me. And then write down a more compassionate truth. I'm learning to speak up for myself. You are not the story others have told about you. You may not even be the story you have been telling yourself. You are a storyteller, and now you can change. You can rewrite. You can reframe the story. This is what it means to cultivate mental flexibility through thought reframing. Oh, it's in the book. It's in chapter 7. It's in the durability lab of chapter 7. I'm just telling you. You can identify a stuck thought. You can reframe it with the truth. And then you can take one small step towards a new mindset. Okay. So personal responsibility then requires that you acknowledge where you really are. And not where you want others to believe you are. We are masters manipulators. We won't say it out loud, but we lie to other people about where we really are. We do, because we want their acceptance. We want them to believe something about us that sometimes we don't even believe about ourselves. When I start taking personal responsibility about where I really am, then it gives me a place to pivot and to move towards. Maybe, just maybe, you have been misunderstanding what's actually happening. That could be true. Maybe you are not the victim of other people's humanity. Could it be you're the victim of your own stuff? Yo, and this is not about ignoring the things, the bad things that are happening in life. Like, this is not ignoring those things. See, the victim is a position of powerlessness. It depends on the information and the communication or voices that you allow to lead your life. Will you allow the voice that is leading your life to be a different voice, to have a different set of words and declarations? And victims are so easily manipulated. Oh, when I'm in victim loop, I'm so easy manipulated. And I am using the tool of manipulation to try to get others to give me what I want. I need you to understand this. That the world may not shrink for your comfort. It may not shrink for your uncertainty. And so you must learn to persist. And you must learn when to pivot. You must learn to expand your perspective about what's happening so that you can get out of the victim loop. I'm telling you, we must learn to tolerate discomfort and uncertainty, and we must learn that there are times when I have to pivot. Okay. Oh, so good, y'all. I'm so grateful to Devin Cillian for the goldfish, the memoirs of a goldfish. And again, listen, if you do not have a copy of The Durable Mind, please go get your copy. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to my website, www.lifesculptors.org, and you can find out how to get your copy of the book. I'm telling you, it's going to help you. Until next time, I want you to do this. Like, subscribe, share it with somebody if it's helping. Please share it with somebody else. Just go ahead and comment. Let me know what you're thinking about these conversations. I'd love to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. And remember, you are exactly enough.